You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
2014 Cleveland Browns season tickets are on sale now. Secure the best seats at the best prices to cheer on your Cleveland Browns at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 824-3434 today. Vic and Nathan on a football Monday, St. Patrick's Day, and we are very pleased to welcome into the show right now a longtime friend of yours truly. I don't know how many, I hesitate to say how many years we go back, John, but happy to have you with us. John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. How you doing, my friend?
I'm great. How are y'all?
Good. Real good. So let's talk first of all about Ben Tate. A lot of people, John, very happy in Cleveland that they have Ben Tate on this football team. How happy should they be?
It's amazing to me. Back, I remember seeing reports in October the Browns were going to trade for Ben Tate in October, and then at the end of the year, Ben knew he wasn't coming back. We talked to him. He talked about, you know, it's my last few games. I'll be gone. And he had gotten hurt in the Kansas City game last year, the same game in which Arian Foster hurt his back and went out for the year. Ben had four broken ribs, and he continued to take shots, and he played until right at the end of the year when he broke one of the ones that had been broken. And something about they couldn't get to where they needed to get to shoot it up, so they put him on injured reserve. But it was a real gutsy performance. It's a good contract for the Browns. You know, what I've seen is up to $7 million. I haven't seen the bases or the bonus, but it's up to $7 million. It means they protect themselves, probably get bonuses based on games played. You know, Ben gets hurt a lot. It's like you said, I'm not injury prone, but it's a physical position. But the fact is, he does get beat up a lot. He's a physical player. He runs between the tackles. He's quick. He's had a great career average, 4.7 yards a carry. They knew they could never bring him back here because he wanted to be a starter. He's not a starter here because Arian Foster, who just got cleared to return, makes $8.5 million.
Right.
And 2 years ago, Arian led the NFL with 17 touchdowns. Last year, he only had two before he got hurt. So they have a tremendous need here to replace Ben, not just a back who can spell Foster, but a back like Ben Tate who can start when necessary, because I think we'd all be naive here to think Foster was going to start and go the distance. When Ben was drafted, they wanted Ryan Matthews in the first round. And then San Diego traded over them and got Ryan Matthews, and they drafted Ben in the second round. Ben broke his foot in training camp, didn't play that year, and then came back the next year. And they had the best twosome in the league because Foster, I think Foster was limited to 1,200 and something yards, and Ben had like 946.
Yep.
And averaged more than 5 yards of carry. And that's when he kind of burst on the scene and made a name for himself. And it was his misfortune here to be behind Foster. Foster's one of the premier backs in the league. So Cleveland, of course, you guys know the Browns were destitute. Now they got a guy who can start. And if he stays healthy, there's no doubt in my mind he'll give them a 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah, very excited to have Ben Tate here. Also very excited to be talking with John McClain, our guest at this time on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. John, Ben Tate is here, but there are rumors in the pipeline potentially of Matt Schaub, obviously the link to Kyle Shanahan, the current offensive coordinator here. You have been adamant that at least he's going to be on the roster now and for the foreseeable future. How do you see the Matt Schaub scenario playing out?
First of all, Schaub has a 10, almost 11 million base salary, counting some bonus money that was added on to his base this year. But you guys know they don't get paid till the season starts. And his cap figure is $14.5 million. And they don't need the cap money. The Texans have lost. They have let go seven players that they didn't want to bring back who signed with other teams. They could have kept them. They're still $10.2 million under the cap. They haven't signed anybody, one of two teams. And one of the problems for new coaches is you're making free agent decisions without being on the field. And the rules are you can't get in the playbook with players now. You can't get on the grease board and work with them. And maybe some do, But if you do and you get turned into the union, you know, you're going to get a big fine. They threaten a draft choice. So you can talk to them, but you can't do football with them. And so new coaches want to see their players on the field, and so they can watch. You know, they can look at every film, but it's in a different system. Most of them think, well, my system, this guy may work or this guy will never work in my system. So they want to see what these guys do on the field. Now, if they got what they consider a really good trade offer, they probably do it. I think Josh McCown's second visit was to here. But I told everybody he's not getting away from Tampa because I knew how much Lovie Smith liked him. But if, say, McCown had come here, interviewed, done well, they signed him, then they could have traded Matt. But right now, they've got nobody else. Until, and I've been convinced all along that they're going to take a quarterback with the top pick. It's just a matter of who it's going to be. They went to Bridgewater's pro day today. They'll have private workouts with Bridgewater. They'll go to lunch and dinner. They'll do the same thing with Blake Bortles on Wednesday. They'll have the pro day, private workouts, lunches, dinner. Same thing with Johnny Manziel next week. So they're a long way from knowing which one they're going to like the best. And if you take Matt Schaub, based on the way Matt played last year, you better have another one. You know, Kyle Shanahan's looking at the Matt that played well, threw for 4,000 yards every year when he was healthy. And had a great year in 2012. And then last year, I've never seen in 35 years a quarterback lose his confidence early on the way Matt did. And I think, personally, Matt needs to go somewhere else. People here treated him terribly. That's what happens. But he had, I mean, fans, media, they're just killing, blamed him for everything that happened negatively when they thought they were going to be a Super Bowl contender and they were in the toilet bowl. And it wasn't fair, but that's the nature of the game. And so I think that Matt needs to go somewhere else. I believe he will be somewhere else when the season starts. It's just a matter of when.
Do you think that he still can play at a high level, speaking of Matt Schaub?
There were times last year. They lost 9 games by 7 or fewer points last year. They lost, I think, 5 by 3 or fewer. And they lost Arian Foster. They lost Brian Cushing. They lost their Pro Bowl tight end, Owen Daniels. And when you take 15 touchdowns away from a running game, it's going to have an effect. And in the first 2, when they were healthy, they won on the last play. Matt helped them come back from a 28-7 third-quarter deficit at San Diego. And then he threw a touchdown pass to beat Tennessee in overtime. And they were 2-1, and he had more yards against Seattle in the 4th game here than any team had till they played New Orleans in the playoffs. And they had him down 20-3 at the end of the 3rd quarter. They had him down 20-13, and then he threw the worst pass in his franchise's history, the pick 6 to Sermon.
Yep.
It sucked the life out of the franchise. He threw then. He'd already thrown a pick 6. He threw 2 more, got benched after throwing an NFL record 4 in a row. Gary Kubiak brought him off the bench a couple of times late. He threw for a lot of yards, but they lost both close games. So there's no doubt in my mind Matt Schaub can still play. You know, you don't cut hitters after one bad year. You don't cut quarterbacks after one bad year. But the fans and everybody, if Matt were on this team and starting, I feel like I made jokes about an insurrection in which fans would tear down Reliant Stadium. It's like anybody but. And if you have Schaub, why do you need Hoyer? If you have Schaub, maybe they could trade Schaub for Hoyer because Hoyer was with O'Brien for 3 years in New England, right, and everybody likes Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, it's in many ways it's kind of the same guy is the way I've been looking at it here as well. John McClain joining us from the Houston Chronicle. John, we've been talking about Teddy Bridgewater's pro day today. Reports were that not only was Bill O'Brien there, but at least a couple of other members of the Texan staff were present, and it seemed like they had the strongest presence there. Give me an update, as much as you know, about the top overall pick and what you think the Texans might do, and does the fact that they had such a strong presence at Louisville's Pro Day today for Teddy Bridgewater mean anything to you?
No, they'll all be there at Blake Bortles Wednesday, where I'll be, and they'll all be at Johnny Manziel's next week, where I'll be. Every team, Jacksonville, Cleveland, all those teams, Oakland, Minnesota, all those teams that need quarterbacks are going to have people at coach and GM at every one of those pro days. Gary Kubiak used not to go to pro days. He said, I can see anything I want to see on film. He said, I want to go for the private workout where I can have them make throws I want to see, and then I want to talk to them. I want to look them in the eye. I want to get to know them. And Gary did a great job with Schaub and great quarterback coach. And I think a lot of that, it's amazing to me how much a prospect can go up or down in shorts and a T-shirt. Now, I saw Mike Mayock's report that he didn't do well, and Gil Brandt tweeted out something totally different. So beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Everybody, including me, is picking up what Mayock said. So it's all over the country. Bridgewater didn't have a good day. And then I tweeted what Gil said, and Gil's telling a different story. So it's amazing that so much stock can be put in something like that. It's also amazing when you've been working, orchestrating a pro day with your guy that you could not have a great day. Mm-hmm. That's like a Broadway rehearsal. You've been over it a million times, your receivers, you've made that throw with them the last few days practicing, and then here comes everybody, and all of a sudden you don't do well. But all they still got to do is go back and watch all that film of Teddy Bridgewater. I still feel like, and I said from the beginning, I think they'll take Johnny Manziel or Blake Bortles, two totally different quarterbacks, and after Bill O'Brien spends a lot of time watching, talking to, eating with, spending all that time leading up to May 8th, he'll make the decision. It'll be one of those two.
All right, John, thank you so much for that insight. And talking about Matt Schaub, Ben Tate, and, of course, the quarterback position with your Texans holding the number one pick in the 2014 NFL Draft. Appreciate you taking the time, and enjoy the rest of your week, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, guys. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, and enjoy Ben Tate. He'll be a lot of fun, as you have already found out.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Thanks, Johnny.
The king of social media already in Cleveland, Ben Tate. All right, we'll be back with our final thoughts. Nathan Ozagurahan and Vic McCarucci here on a special St. Patrick's Day edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Just up, just getting up, throwing on these boots and making that climb.